Today's Shir Masechta Sota Daf Dalet, and we will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Tana Rabbanan. As we've been discussing, the process of a Sota is first this Kinui, where the husband warns her not to seclude herself, and then there's Stira, where there are Edom who say that she did seclude herself with the man she wasn't supposed to. Says the Braisa. Tana Rabbanan, in the previous Gemara, we spoke about Eidus Rishoina and Eidus Achroina. Ezu Eidus Rishoina, Zu Eidus Tira. The first Edom that were referred to in the previous Braisa are the Edom who say that she secluded herself. Eidus Achroina, Zu Eidus Tuma. Edom that saw her actually having relations, inappropriate relations, with someone else. Begins the Gemara, an important sugya. Every sugya is important. Kamashir Stira. What is the amount of time that it's considered that she did Stira? Says the Braisa, and we're going to focus on these words in a moment. Kedei Tuma, the amount of time to become Tamei, which is Kedei Bia, which is the amount of time in which Bia takes place, which is Kedei Hara, which is, when we speak about Bia, we speak about the beginning of Bia, not the entire act, which is Kedei Hafkofa Stekel, which is the amount of time to circle a palm tree, Divrei Bishma. And as I said, in a moment, the Mitzvah Shem will explain this Braisa. When we speak about a dekel, the Rishonim explain what size dekel. There are a lot of palm trees. So the Rishonim seem to say that the dekel we're referring to is a palm tree that's too large that one could put his hand around it. If he put his hand around it, he couldn't do it, because if he could put his hand around it, why would he walk around the palm tree? Just put your hand around. So this dekel that requires somebody to walk around, that is the size. I saw another pshat, why dekel? I saw a very interesting pshat. The palm tree, there's male palm trees and female palm trees. They cannot bear fruit unless the male palm tree and the female palm tree are able to see each other. This woman, didn't act appropriately. She's living with a different man. So she's the opposite of a dekel. That's why we use dekel as the shear. The amount of time it takes to dilute a cup of wine. Again, why wine? As we're going to learn later in the Masechta. Because she drank wine with the adulterer. The amount of time to drink it. The amount of time it takes to roast an egg. Why an egg? Again, because egg, the Mepharshim explained, looks like semen, which obviously happened here. Kivayim kedei legoma, the amount of time it takes to swallow an egg. Tosfos points out, why is Ben Azai's opinion mentioned before Rabbi Akiva's opinion? Wasn't Ben Azai Rabbi Akiva's Talmud? Answers Tosfos that we're going in order. Roasting an egg takes place before swallowing the egg. So that's why, even though Ben Azai was Rabbi Akiva's Talmud, Ben Azai's opinion is mentioned first. The Rabbi Yoshev uses this Gemara to teach us a very important halacha. We know on Yom Kippur one's not allowed to eat. There are different shiurim for the amount that's eaten to be is koseves. The amount drunk is kedei meloy logmov. Now the question is, what is an egg considered? Is an egg considered a solid food? Or is the egg considered a liquid? Since our Gemara, says Rabbi Yoshev, uses the word gomoy by an egg, and the word gemi is always used by a liquid, as the pasuk says, hagmieni no mat mayim mikadech. So we see that an egg is considered a liquid, and the shiurim will be like a liquid. The time it takes to swallow three eggs. Rabbi Lazar ben Yirmiyam kadei lekasha garde nima. The weaver used to tie together two strings. And again, the Mepharshim point out, it's a weaver who does it a lot quicker than a person who doesn't know how to do this. That's the shear. The amount of time it takes a woman to put her hand in her mouth, little kiss him, to take out a toothpick. And again, the Mepharshim say, specifically a woman, usually women are more dexterous than men, so it takes less time by a woman than a man. The amount of time it takes for her to put a hand into a basket, to take out a loaf of bread, And not b'shein ra'i l'dovah, that that's the shir zeich l'dovah. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, ki ba'ad isha zoyna ad kika lecha. The amount of time we see zoyna is connected to bread. Ask the Gemara, v'kol hani lamali. Why did we need to mention all of these different shurim that we began with? K'day tumah, k'day bia, k'day hara. Answers the Gemara. Tzricha. Di tana k'day tumah. Had I only spoken about k'day tumah, have a min k'day tumah sa vertsusa. The shir is the amount of time, not just for the act to be done, but the amount of time it takes her to convince her to do it. K'mashma k'day bia. Only the shir bia. Di tana k'day bia. If it only said k'day bia, have a min k'day gemar bia. The entire act of bia. Kamashalon, Kedeya Ra. Only the beginning is already considered that the Aveira was done. Vyashmin Kedeha Ra, Havmina Kedeha Ra Vertusa. Yes, you only need the beginning of the Bia, but you also have to figure in the amount of time it takes to seduce her. Kamashmalon, Kedeh Tuma, the Kama Kedeha Ra, it's only the time of Hara, and that is how much time does it take? Kedeha Kafas Dekel, the amount of time it takes to circle the Dekel tree. Joey. The Briskerov points out, that even though, as we'll see, and we're going to learn as we get deeper into the sugya, that there are different shurim, and the Gemara is going to say that the different shurim represent the different amount of times it took these different tanoim to have relations with their wives. So it doesn't mean that kedei tumah becomes a subjective shir. That somebody who takes longer will have a longer shear, somebody who takes shorter has a shorter shear. Once the Gemara establishes the shear, that's the shear for everyone. Noid Vihuda asks the following question. Let's say we say the shear is 5 minutes, which indeed there's a machlokes exactly how long the shear is, anywhere from 2 minutes to about 8-9 minutes. So let's say the shear is 5 minutes. And Adam saw 2 minutes that they were secluded, but they didn't see a whole 5 minutes. What would be the din? So the Paiskim say, based on our Gemara, it says you have to have the whole Kedei Hara. It has to be that the Edom saw the entire 5 minutes. If they only saw part of the time, it would not be enough. Another question the Mefarshim asked is, our Gemara said that how much is the time of Kedei Tumah? Kedei Hara, the amount of time it takes to do the initial act of Bia. Ask the Mefarshim, as we learned through the halachas of Bias Asuris, whenever the Torah says that one is not supposed to have a certain relationship, the shir is always Kedei Hara. Why does the Gemara here have to say that here the shir is Kedei Hara? Of course it's Kedei Hara. It shouldn't be any different than anywhere else in halacha. Answer the Mefarshim. Here we're referring to a situation where a woman is having an adulterous relationship. The Torah uses very specific words for such a situation. Omal or mal. She betrayed her husband. So we would think that mal or mal is a different din than all other bias. And by a bias surah, the shear is normally hara. Here perhaps it should be a different shear. Says the Gemara, it's the same shear as everywhere else. So as we said, the Gemara quoted a brisa. We're going to spend a lot of time learning that brisa, that the shear is the various shiur. Discuss the paiskim, the following shayla. We know that besides the isser of a saita, which we're learning, Baruch Hashem, there's isser yichud. A woman is not allowed to be with a man under certain circumstances. What is the shiur yichud? Is it the same shiur as this gemara or not? So there's three opinions in the paiskim. The Imri Eish says yes. It's the same shear. Whatever our Gemara establishes is the shear for stira, is the same shear by every situation of yichud. Ramosha wants to suggest that the shear yichud may be longer. Why? Because Ramosha says that maybe by yichud, we do have to take into consideration the amount of time it takes the man to convince the woman to have this inappropriate relationship, and maybe the shear should be longer. The Maril Diskin, on the other hand, says the shear is shorter. Why does he say shorter? So Michas Yitzchak and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach explain the Maril Diskin this way. What is the Issa Yichud, they say? The Issa Yichud is that if a man and a woman will be in a secluded area, they may come to be there too long, and once they're there too long, something inappropriate may happen. So even if they're there just for a slight, shortest amount of time, it could lead that they should remain longer, And that's why the Maril Diskin says, even the shortest amount of time, there's an Issa Yichud. However, if that's the explanation, the Pais can discuss a very relevant Shailam. What's going to be an halach if somebody enters an elevator? It's a closed room, and there's no one else besides a woman who's not his wife in that elevator. Is it Yichud or not? If we're saying that according to Maril Diskin, the shortest amount of time, there's an Issa Yichud, so there's an Issa Yichud. So Rav Shlomo Zalman explains, even the Maril Diskin, who says there's an Issa Yichud, even for the slightest amount of time, is only in a situation where it could lead that they will remain for the sheer tumah. But if they're in an elevator, and the button was pressed, and we know that the door is going to open in 10 seconds, in 15 seconds, which is certainly the less than the sheer Yichud, or even if they didn't press the button, there's always a chance that the door is going to open, because maybe somebody else on another floor press the button, unbeknownst to them. That's why even in an elevator, even if they're there alone, there is no Issa Yichud, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. What about the Shi Yichud after a chuppah? The halacha is that the chasen kala after chuppah have to have Yichud. Many paiskim, again, use the shiurim that we're discussing in our shiur to be the Shi Yichud for chasen kala. However, there are other paiskim who suggest that by chas and v'kala, we could have a shorter shear. Why? Because since the chas and v'kala can remain longer, it was their choice to remain shorter than the shear. But if they wanted, they could have remained longer. That's why it's considered a shear yichud, as long as they were there secluded, even for the shortest amount of time. And I even saw an opinion, which I know people don't follow, that even if there are people in the room, so it's not yichud, but since the chasen kala could always ask these people to leave the room because they want privacy, that may be already considered an acceptable yichud. I'm not saying that that should be followed halacha l'maaseh. Says the Gemara, v'kama kedei harah, how much is the time of harah? Kedei gofes dekel. So the Braisa at the Betapa the Amid said, the time it takes to walk around a palm tree. Raminu asked the Gemara, there's another Braisa. The Braisa says, V'nistira, regarding the Saita, the Kamashir Stira, how much is the Stira Stira? Lo Shemana, we don't know. Sh'oim v'hi nitma, when the Pasuk continues saying v'hi nitma, hava oima kadei tuma. The Shir Stira is the same as the Shir Tuma, which is, again, says the Braisa, the same words that we learned in Tapet Amid, kadei bia, kadei hara, kadei chazar stekel. Divir Ebeleza. Rabbi Shuaimer, the shear is kadei mezigas akais, the time it takes to pour, to dilute a cup that's a revius big. But as I'm kadei l'shtoisai, I saw the mefarshim ask, when we speak about l'shtoisai, we see here every second counts. Does it mean drinking it in one shot or in two shots? Because that will take longer. So many say, you're not supposed to drink a cup of wine in one drinking. Others say that if it's sweet wine, you're allowed to. And that's why the Paiskim say it's in one shot. Rabbi Kiva Im Kedei Litzloi Speya, the time it takes to roast an egg. Rabbi Yudah Ben Seir Im Kedei Lagomai, to swallow it. Begins the Gemara to analyze these two brises as they reflect on each other. Kusaka Daitach, Haina Kofes Dekel, Haina Chazaros Dekel. What we learned in the first brisa, the time it takes to walk around the palm tree, and Chazaros Dekel is the same amount of time. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to say that Akofas Dekel and Chazaros Dekel indeed mean the same thing, we're faced with a Gevaldige Kasha. Hossam, in the first brisa we learned on the Amid, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Kadei Akofas Dekel. Rabbi Shmuel said that the Shir is Kadei Akofas Dekel, or Palak Rabbi Leza Alei. And Rabbi Leza disagrees. Rabbi Leza said Kadei Mezigas Akois. And Hocha, and here, it's that Rabbi Leza who's disagreeing with Rabbi Shmuel, who says Amar Rabbi Leza Kadei Chazaros Dekel. So why is he arguing? Answers the Gemara, Hakofas Dekel and Chazaros Dekel are not the same. Amar Abaya, Hakofa means beregel, the amount of time it takes to walk around the tree. Chazara, beruach. Chazara doesn't mean the amount of time it takes to walk around the tree. Chazara means that if a branch is blown to the other side, the amount of time it takes for the branch to come back to its original position. Nothing to do with a person walking, it has to do with a branch being blown by the wind. Boy Ravashi, so ask Ravashi, if that's the definition of Chazar Stekel, the question is, how do we define it? Chazar Beruach, Kihecha da Ozol Fahada Asi, We know when the wind blows it back to its original place, it takes a little time for it to settle down. So it doesn't mean, as long as it goes back to its original place, even though it's still moving, or the amount of time that it goes back to its original place and sits still, which is a longer time. Take it. The Gemara doesn't answer that question. Another question. In the first brayse in the Amid, Rabbi Elazar said the shear is the amount of time it takes to dilute the cup of revius. Hacha, he said, k'day chazar stekel. So what is his opinion? Answers the Gemara, they're really one and the same. Chazar stekel and mezigas akais are one and the same. Ask the Gemara, hasam am Rabbi Yeshua, k'day l'shtoysay. In the previous brayse, Rabbi Yeshua said it's the time it takes to drink that cup. Hacha amar, and here he says, k'day mezigas akais, the time it takes to dilute it. So what is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion? Answers the Gemara, the time it takes to dilute and then drink it. Ask the Gemara, why are we answering Rabbi Yeshua that way? V'lema, why don't we just give the same answer that we gave a moment ago? That idividi chad shurihu, the mezigas akais and shtiyas akais are one and the same. Says the Gemara, we can't say that. Because if we're saying that shtiyas akais and mezigas akais are all the same, so it comes out that Rabbi Yeshua is saying the same thing as Rabbi Elazar. So why is the Brice saying that they're arguing? So where's the argument? It must be that Rabbi Yeshua is saying something else. And what's he saying? Meziga plus Shtia. Another question. Hasam Amar Ben Azai, k'day litzlois beya. In the first Brice, Rabbi Azai said the time it takes to roast the egg. Hacha Amar, k'day lishtoisai, the time it takes to drink it. So what is it? Answers the Gemara, idivide chutshuri. It's really one and the same. Hasam Amar Rabbi Kiva, k'day l'goma. In the first price, Rabbi Kiva said the time it takes to swallow an egg. Hacha Amar, k'day litzlois beya, the time it takes to roast an egg. What is it? Answers the Gemara, it's a combination. Ema litzlois beya ulagoma. It's the time it takes to both roast it and swallow it. Ask the Gemara, why are we expanding the shear? Why don't we just say it's one and the same? Says the Gemara, if Rabbi Kiva is going to say that it's the same, so that represents Ben Azai's opinion. Imken Hanu Ben Azai. And there's obviously a machloikis, so we can't have Rabbi Kiva saying the same as Ben Azai. Next question. Here he said it's the time it takes to drink tea, three eggs. And Hacha Amar K'day L'Gomai, one egg. So is it three eggs or one egg? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is really not arguing with Rabbi Kiva. He's just rephrasing what Rabbi Kiva holds. L'dvar of the Rabbi Kiva come up. He's speaking to Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva said, according to Rabbi Kiva, this shear is the amount of time it takes to roast and then swallow the egg. So he says, don't combine roasting and swallowing, which is a more difficult way of phrasing your shear. You could phrase it in just swallowing it. And how much time is it? The time it takes to eat three eggs consecutively is the same time it takes to roast and swallow one egg. So really, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Kiva are not arguing. They're just saying the same thing in different ways. The amount of time it takes to sew together the two strings of a weaver. Again, we see how every second counts. The Machaka Makarev. These two strings that he's tying together, are they far away, so it takes more time, or are they close? Teku. Chanaman Pechas Amar. The shear is Kadesha Toisha Yodal Takpia Vitokisum. The amount of time it takes for a woman to take a toothpick out of her mouth. Again, Bar Ravashi, the mehedik or the loy mehedik? Is the toothpick wedged into her teeth, which takes longer time to schlep out, or not wedged in? Again, teiku. Pli oyma kadesh toish yodel teich lasal. The shear is the amount of time it takes a woman to put a hand into the basket, lito kicker, to take out a loaf of bread. Bar Ravashi, the mehedik or the loy mehedik? Is the bread wedged into the basket, or not wedged in? Because if wedged in, it takes longer time to schlep it out. Their baskets were wicker baskets. We know when you have a new wicker basket, there are still pieces sticking out. And those pieces prevent you from schlepping something out. So is it a new wicker basket that takes longer time to schlep out, or an old wicker basket? Bechamima or bekrira? Warm bread, which is softer, harder to schlep out, or cold bread, which is easier to schlep out? Bedechiti or bedesari? Wheat bread or barley bread? Wheat bread is smoother, and that's why it's harder to grasp onto. It takes longer to pull out. Barley bread is coarser. It's easier to schlep out. Brekika or bakusha? Soft bread, harder to schlep out, or hard bread? All these questions take you. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol echad ve'echad, each one of these tanoim that we've been discussing, that mentioned shiurim, be'atzma shiur, said it as long as it took him to do the biyah. Ask the Gemara, Vika ben Azai deloy ben Nosef. One of the man d'amrim that we mentioned that gave his shiur was ben Azai. But ben Azai never got married. So how would he know how long biyah takes him? Answers the Gemara, why didn't ben Azai get married? So the Gemara says, because ben Azai said in Masechta Yevamos, Nafshi choshke b'Torah. I can't get married because I have to learn Torah. And as Rabbi Chanan, we discussed this when we learned Masechta Yevamos, as Rabbi Chanan explains, Rav Ashi was in the category of an oinus. He just couldn't bring himself to get married. Not that anyone else has a right not to get married. So one teretz says, Nosuva Pirushava. Rav Ashi, but as I was married for a short period and then he got divorced, so from that period he knew how long the beer takes him. Vibai said, Rabbi Shmile, he never had relations, but he heard from his Rebbe how long it takes. Vibai said, Soyra Shem Lereyov, he had a message from Shemayim. Ask the Meretz Chayis, we know there's a rule, Loi b'Shemayim hi, that the decisions are not left in Shemayim. So how could he gotten this decision in a Shemayim? Or you could ask the question differently. If his decision is in a Shemayim, how could anybody argue on his opinion? So Mepharshim answer, in a Shemayim they didn't tell him what the halach is. In a Shemayim they told him, if he were married, how long it would take him to do biyah. And once he got that information, he used that as the shear. Not that they told him that this is the final psak halacha. Darash Ravira, Zimna Amal Mishmed Rav Ami, Zimna Amal Mishmed Rav Asi. Kala Oichel Lechem Beloin Tilas Yudayim. If somebody eats bread without washing, Kilabo Alisha Zoyna, as if he had relations with a prostitute. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, that we quoted on in Aleph, Kibe Ad Isha Zoyna At Kika Lechem. Why is eating bread without washing the hands like living with a zayna? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that just like you're not allowed to live with a zayna, you're not allowed to eat without washing. One pshat. Another pshat is living with a zayna is a life of hefker. It's hefker. It's promiscuous. So too, eating without washing is hefker. Another pshat is that the pasuk, how do we learn that you're supposed to wash your hands before you eat? Because the pasuk says, v'skadishtem. And getting married is also kedusha. Living with a zayin is the opposite of kedusha, and therefore, eating without washing is like living with a zayin. Amar Rava asks Rava, how could you learn this from this pasuk? Amar Rava, hay bad isha zayin ad kicha lechem. The pasuk says, because of a zayin, there's bread. It should say the other way. If a person doesn't eat the bread properly, it's like he lived with a zoyna. El Amarava, kol abal isha zoyna. If somebody lives with a zoyna, l'soyfim vakish kikalechem, he will not have panosa. So I saw pshat, why? A wife is considered like lechem. Lechem hu oichel. The wife is considered la lechem. Why is a wife considered like lechem? What's the similarity between a wife and bread? Because the family, the panosa, comes from the wife. She's the one that runs the home. If a husband betrays his wife, then he loses his panosa. And I saw a beautiful vart from the Nachla Shiva. The Nachla Shiva, if anyone ever paid attention to the Ksuba, it says in the Ksuba that the husband will support his wife. The way husbands support their wife in truth. Kushta means emes. So the question is, what does emes have to do here? So he says, shots like this, it's our Gemara. what the husband is saying in his ksuba to his wife, you know how we will be zaycha to mefaris in your son, that we will have panos in our home? Bekushta, if I will be honest to you, that is the way that we will have panos in our home. Rav Zreika, Amr Rav Elazar. Whoever doesn't treat Matil Sidayim properly, Nekim and Oilam. And Taisus discusses, here the Gemara says Nekim and Oilam, and the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says Boladei Anias. So what is it, Anias or death? So Taisus says, one Teretz Taisus says, is that that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos is referring to Anias that will lead to death. Al Gemara is speaking about a person who doesn't constantly abuse Matil Sidayim. He'll die, but he won't die a horrible death. Someone who does it on a constant basis will die, not only die, but will die a horrible death from starvation. Other Mefarshim explain as follows. If someone is mezalzel matil shadayim occasionally, he'll become poor. If someone always is mezalzel matil shadayim, he will die. Another pshat is that somebody washes their hands, but doesn't wash his hands properly, as we're going to see, they're very specific halachas in the Matil Sidayim, he'll become poor. Someone who just ignores the halacha completely will die. Says the Aliyah Rabbah, what makes Matil Sidayim more than any other Rabbonin, mitzvah the Rabbonin, that our Gemara is being so serious about a person who's not careful with Matil Sidayim? Says the Aliyah Rabbah, we've discussed many times, there are two types of the Rabbonins. Sometimes the Rabbonin come up with a new rule. And sometimes the Rabbonin come up with a rule which is really only a gzeira, takana, to protect the rule. Netil Sidayim is such a case. It's only because of Tumah that Chazal said we should wash our hands. So one would suggest, Tumah, it's relevant to Kahanim. It's relevant in the time we had a Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays, we're anyway Tumah. So who should care about Netil Sidayim? Teaches us the Gemara. If Chazal taught us that we have to wash our hands before we eat, we can't start making cheshbonis. And nowadays it's not relevant. The rule is the rule. And if somebody chas v'sholem is mezalzel on the rule, we spoke about the einish. Omer, Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Omer Rav, Mayim Rishonim, Tzorach Shiyagbi Yod L'malav. When one washes his hands before he eats, he has to keep them upwards. Why? So Mefarshim explain. Rashi and the Rishonim explain. When we wash our hands, we know we're supposed to wash our hands twice. The first time we wash our hands, the water that's on our hands become tamei from the hands that are tamei. That's why we're washing our hands. And the second time is to wash that water that became tamei. So Rashi explains the Gemara in this way. According to Rashi, the obligation of washing the hands is only up to the joint between the palm and the fingers. So what will be the halacha if somebody washed his hands? He washed his hands that water went past the knuckles, the first washing. Then he washes his hands the second time, but the second time he's careful only till the knuckles. And then that water that was below the knuckles, that you only have one layer of water, that water rolls back on top on his fingers. Since that water is tummy water, it became tummy from his hands, it'll make his hands tummy again. That's why keep your hands up, that the water will roll up, roll down, never roll onto the fingers. That's Rashi's pshat. Other Rishonim learn a different pshat. They learn an interesting pshat. This halacha, that the water has the ability to be matar the hands, is only where you have to wash your hands. But if it's in an area you don't have to wash your hands, that water, even if you used water once and twice, remains tamei. So if you're going to wash your hands, and the water is going to go below the area that has to be washed, that water remains tamei, no matter how many layers of water you have there. And then if that water rolls back up, you will be matama that area again. On the other hand, mayim achroinim, tzarech shiyash b'yadav l'matav. On the other hand, when you're washing mayim achroinim, there we want the water to roll as much as possible. Because what's the purpose of mayim achroinim? That the hands get dirty, there's melech sedaimus, there was salt on the table that could cause blinding, so therefore you want to get as much of the hand wet, so we don't mind if the water rolls. The Mefarshim explained, before one eats, he lifts his hands up. He's davening to Hashem, give me bread to eat. After he eats, he rolls his hand down. A person shouldn't think, now that I ate, I'm somebody, I'm nothing, my hands are down. Shema, as we just explained, the water may go past the area. The yachsav yitmus yudayim, the two pshatim that we gave. Amrab avua, kol ha'oichel pas b'lo nigav yudayim, whoever eats bread without drying his hands, kilo ochel lechem tamei. It's as if he ate tamei bread. Shnemar v'yayim Hashem kocha yoichel b'nei Yisrael es lachmam tamei. Lachmam, the Mashal says, lach mayim. If the hands are still wet, it's as if he ate tamei bread. So there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. What, before we say the machlokes rishonim, that's why, even though we know that by all mitzvahs, we have to make the bracha before we perform the mitzvah, so why don't we make the bracha on the tilis yadayim before we wash? The answer is, since our Gemara is teaching us that drying the hand is an integral part of the tilis yadayim, so as long as you make the bracha before you're drying your hand, it's before you did the mitzvah, because drying is part of the mitzvah. So we have here machlokes rishonim. Why is it so important to dry your hands? Rashi says the issue is because of miyus. If your hands are wet and you're going to eat, then you're going to make the food unappealing. So dry your hands. Other rishonim explain the reason is because the water becomes tamei, as we just explained, and therefore we don't want you to eat with that water on your hands because it's going to make the food tamei. What are the nafkaminas between these two pshatim? So the number of nafkaminas lahaloch lamaisa. The halacha is that if one uses more than a revius of washing, and this is why one should be careful to use more than a revius when he washes his hands, then all these concerns about the water becoming tamei don't exist. So if the issue is tuma, so as long as I washed with more than a revius, I don't have a problem. If the issue is that mius, because my hands are wet, it makes no difference how much water I use. Another nafkamina is as follows. If you washed your hands and it took you a while to dry them, if the issue is as long as you don't eat until your hands are wet so you don't make the food disgusting, it's fine. If the issue is that you don't want tumma, you should dry your hands immediately. Where is this relevant? In a lot of places, they don't have towels. They have these machines where you just like you dry your hands. If the issue is, which takes longer than a towel, if the issue is just that your hands shouldn't be wet, as Rashi explains, that's an acceptable manner of drying your hands. But if the issue is to get the tumah off, then you should get it off immediately. What's the eitzah if you only have that method of drying your hands? If you wash your hands with more than a revius, then you're fine. Tumah you don't have anyway, because as I said, when you have more than a revius, you don't have tumah. And dry, and your hands not wet, because you dried it. Says the Gemara. Mai, the pasuk says in Mishlei, "Ve'eishes ish nefesh yikara tatzud." Amrav Chibar Abba, Amrav Yoichan. Kol adam sheish begasas haruach. Whoever is arrogant, lepsoif nichshav ve'eishes ish, he will end up doing an aver with eishes ish. Shenemar, "Ve'eishes ish nefesh yikara tatzud." So, before I can explain, what is the connection between living with an eishes ish and being a bal gaiva? So some Mefarshim, based on the Gemara that we learned previously, says that this is a terrible Avera, and somebody who does an Avera has a Ruach Shtos in him, and he could come to do other Averas. Another Pshat is as follows. The Mefarshim say that, what does it mean, an Eishes Ish? Eishes Ish means it's somebody else's wife. So how could you come close to someone else's wife? But if you're a Baal Gaiva, nobody's as important to you. You don't consider anyone else's position. And that's why you're going to come chas v'shom to the very ravashis ish. Amara, Rava, asks Rava if that's what the pasuk means. Hay nefesh yikara. Nefesh gavaya mi boile. It's nefesh gavaya is about gaiva. Void he tatsud mi boile. She will ensnare him. El Amara Rava. Kol abo al eishas ish. Somebody who has relations with an eishas ish. Afil lama Torah. Even if he learned a lot of Torah. The ksiba that the Torah is called yikara him pninim. Which is even more worthwhile than Kain Godel Shenichnes Lefnayu Lefnim. It's even greater than the Kain Godel, because the halacha, as we learned, is that a Talmud Chacham precedes the Kain Godel. He touched a Donal Adonai Shal Gehenim. She will schlep him into Gehenim. And as the Mefarshim explained, The Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol's Big Day Kahuna brought kapara on the Avera of Znus. So this person says, I'm greater than the Kohen Gadol, so I don't have to worry about the Avera of Znus, says the Gemara, Chas v'shalom. Amar b'yachim shim r'b'shim ben yoichai. Kol adam shesh begas v'saruach. Anyone who's about gaiva, kil oivet avodas kechavim. It's as if he's worshipping avodah zara. The ksiv hacha, toivas Hashem kol gval leiv, v'ksiv hasam v'loi sovi toiva el beisecha. So Mefarshim give many reasons what does avodah zara have to do with being about gaiva. One pshat that I saw is like this. The pasuk says, in Parshas Bereishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nasa Odom B'Tzamaseinu. Let's create, he said, let us create a person. What do you mean, let us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs help? So Rashi says, this teaches us modesty, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need help, didn't take any help, but that's the nice way to speak. That's the opposite of gaiva. This person is about gaiva. He doesn't believe in speaking that way. So he explains the pasuk literally. He explains that the pasuk means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed help, which is the biggest avodah zara. Another pshat is as follows. What does avodah zara say? What does Abal Gaiva say? Abal Gaiva says that there's nobody bigger and greater than him. What is avodah zara say? Avodah zara says the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't create the world by himself. He needs helpers. He needs agents. So that's the exact same thing as avodah zara and gaiva. Rav Yochanan Deyomer, kil kofa be'ikar. Shenemar, v'ram levech v'shechachta Hashem l'kecha. Now, Farshim explain, what is the difference between avodah zara and kofa be'ikar? Avodah zara means that you believe in God, but you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over the world to run by itself, or gave it over to agents. Kofa be'ikar is much worse. You don't believe that there's a God at all. Rav Chama Beichninoima, Kilba Kol Arayis. It's as if he lived with all Arayis. Ksiv Hacha, Toevus Hashem Kol Gvar Leiv. Ksiv Hasem Kis Kol Toevus Ha'olam. Ula Amar, Kilubon Aboma. It's as if he built a Boma. Shnei Mechidu Lechem An Odom, Asher Neshama Ba'apoy, Ki Baman Nechshavu. A person is really nothing. Atik B'meh El Boma. What's making a Boma worse? Because Boma, the Mefarshim explain, is that not only is he serving avodah zara, but he considers himself an avodah zara. The pasuk says, Yad li yad lo yunaka. My yad li yad lo yunaka. Amar Rav, kol habal eishes ish. If somebody has relations with eishes ish, afilu akneu l'kadosh baruch hu, shmayim v'oretz kavrab avinu. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules the world, just like Avraham Avinu said. Diksibei, harumaisi yodei al Hashem kel el yoin, kainu shmayim v'oretz, lo yunaka medina shogahadim. He will not save himself from being Adam. Says the Gemara, if that's what the pasuk means, kashle l'dabei Rabbi Shila, ha yad li yad lo yunaka, yad bi yad mi boile, el amar Rabbi Shila, afilu kivu tayre moish rabbeinu. Even if somebody is as great as Moish Rabbeinu, the ksiv, mimina eish tos lomoi, that he accepted with his hands the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yadayin, so Mefarshim explain, why are we trying to compare the Baal Gaiva Tavrom to Moshe Rabbeinu? Explains the Mashal. One of the Pirkei Avos says that what was the greatness of Avram Avinu? That Avram Avinu was a tremendously generous person. Hachnosis Archim. Moshe Rabbeinu was also a very generous person. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael all the Papula Shel Torah, we learned. And Moshe Rabbeinu was always generous with Klal Yisrael in the way he dealt with them. So one would think, if somebody's so generous, even if he does these averis, it should resolve the problem. Teaches us the Gemara, doing tzedakah doesn't solve that problem. Says the Gemara, if it's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, hay yad li yad, yad mi yad mi boilei. El amar b'yachra, fil osu tzedakah b'seisr. Even a person does tzedakah, which is the highest level of tzedakah, the ksiv matan b'seisa yichva af, he gives tzedakah quietly, lo yinak medina shegahanim, he will still fall into Gehenim. The Karen Ayer explains the Gemara the following way. Our Gemara spoke about Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, and giving tzedakah. We know it says in Pirkei Avos that there's three things that the world stands on: Torah, Vavoida, and Gemilas Chasadim. Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah. Avram Avinu represents Avodah. He was the one, the first one to daven, second tefillah shachris. He was the one that was ready to sacrifice his son Yitzchak. Tzedakah represents Gemilas Chasadim. Says the Gemara that even if you have an individual that has in himself Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim, if he has this Avera, Layanaka Medina Shaganim.
Yeah.